Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Women's Strength Society show. Today we are going to talk about the four levels of matching training and nutrition. We are talking always about why you need matching training and nutrition to create the toned look. In general, to create a different body shape, you need matching and training and nutrition.
Yeah, I think it's crucial. And the biggest reason for it is because it's going to be way easier to manipulate the training and the nutrition to create the results that you are after.
I mean, I was training for almost 5 years without having a different body shape. I mean, I was able to lose some weight here and there, going on some crash diets, using meal replacement shakes, doing keto. But then on the other side, I also gained a lot of weight back.
Doing keto.
So I didn't have like an approach that really made sure I was getting the results that I was after.
Yeah.
And so when I finally matched my training and nutrition, I was able to create results in like 1 year. I wasn't able to create in five. And that's the big, big game changer also for a lot of our clients who are already 5, 10, 15 years in the gym. They're quite active. They're also trying to pay attention to their diet, but they can create a different shape.
Let's give a bit more context to this before we jump into the four levels, because I also see that quite a lot with the women in our free community, Strong Babes Club Free. If you are interested, then check the link in the description, and you can get in inside the community to connect with other women who are also on this journey of transforming their bodies and getting stronger and
love
healthier.
To lift weights.
And you also get the support from us and like tips and challenges and content exclusive, so forth and so on. So check it out. But what I see quite a lot is women who try to do as much as they can, and with this idea of doing more is going to be better, especially doing more training and eating less calories is going to be the solution to look differently, and it's not the case.
Yeah, because there is just another option is missing, and so they only know about training more and eating less. And if things are not working and things are not going in the right direction, and I hear so many women who say, hey, I'm like in my 40s or end 30s or mid 30s, and when I was 20 the things worked that I were doing for my training and nutrition, and now all that stuff doesn't work anymore, and I need to do things differently to see results, and I'm confused because I don't know what to do.
Yeah. And this is why we talk about matching the training and the nutrition, and we are going to go into what it actually means. So when you think about your body, you have to imagine that you have like a certain budget of energy for every day. And this energy is going to go for your training or for your recovery, but also for work, for social relationships,
for your kids,
for your partner, to walk the dog, to do some steps, your cardio, so forth and so on. And one part of one, like a big part of your calorie budget, is the food that you eat every day. And we want to have a match between those two. It's almost like on Tinder.
Swipe to the right or to the left.
We want to have a match between the training and the nutrition, because otherwise you are not going to have the energy that you need either to perform in your training or to recover from your training. Or maybe you are going to be able to perform in your training, but then you are going to have other problems. And it can be either in your body, like several systems are going to be downregulated. It can be your digestion. It can be your mood. It can be your
hormones.
Libido. It can be the hormones that go out of whack. It can be your sleep. And then it can be outside of your body. So you are less performant when you work. You are not really present with your partner. You are more irritated from your kids. That kind of stuff definitely can happen just because there's a mismatch between the fuel you take in and the output that you create with your training. So that's kind of the frame that we have to use to look at this matter. And the first step, the first level is the calories for the nutrition and strength training for the training, basically. And maybe I think your story and the way you went through that is very telling. So maybe you can say again, like, what happened, how you trained, how you ate before you had matching training nutrition, and then what happened when you started to implement that.
So I was a member of a gym also back in the days when I tried to become fit, but I was mainly on the stepper, like doing cardio stuff, because
on the Stairmaster.
Stairmaster or this one.
Other elliptical.
Cross trainer.
Elliptical.
Yeah, elliptical.
Yeah.
To burn calories, because that was my, I wanted to get rid of body fat. I wanted to slim down. So I thought I need to do cardio. I also did some machines because.
Sorry, did you think like I want to lose body fat, or did you think I want to lose weight?
I know that at some point I realized that I want to lose body fat because I was reading blogs, I was Googling, you know, how to create the toned look.
Yeah.
And so I at some point understood that I want to lose body fat specifically.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I went to the gym to burn calories. I also had a training program from a gym trainer. But I never tracked my training sessions. So I basically just did the same machines, the same like routine. And I just picked the weight that, I don't know, came up in my mind. I was like, okay, today I'm taking this weight or this weight. I didn't realize if I was actually progressing or taking less or whatever. That was like my very beginning. Then my mother started to train at the boutique gym. It was like athletic training in a small group setting. And this is where I started to really train regularly, because before that I went to the gym a couple of times and then for 6 months, nothing. And then again, a little bit of cardio and then nothing. So doing athletic training was the first time I really committed to going to the gym 3 times a week, at least in the beginning. And so I did some, it was the first time I really did some work with like dumbbells and barbells and not on machines only. And I liked it. It helped me to stay committed and motivated in the process. But I was not able to change the way my body looks in a way that I wanted to look. So I wasn't looking like someone who lifts weights.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I was trying a lot of different diets. I was getting advice from like everywhere. I was either like Googling something or reading something in a magazine or hearing something in the news. Like,
or even from the trainers at the gym, no?
And then also from the trainers at the gym, hey, maybe you should do the blood type diet, or you should definitely do low carb, or vegan is like the shit. Like, if you want to get your period back, then do vegan. Stuff like that. And so I was trying all of these things. I was super confused because nothing was working in the end. And yeah, that was like the big confusion.
Question mark above your head.
Question mark, like burning head, question mark above my head. And also experiencing yo-yo weight gain. And so I looked even worse, putting so much work in, but not doing, like not having training and nutrition matched. And that was very, very frustrating for me, because I did so many things. And I was also quite disciplined and committed, like when someone told me like, hey, do vegan or clean eating or blood type diet, I would like read everything about it and then implement that, because I thought like, hey, this is now the solution, this is now the key that will help me to transform my body.
And you're very good at executing, so it was like, I'm going to do everything according to the plan that was given to me. And for nutrition, most of the time, it wasn't, you had no way to control how much, when, and what to eat. It was just like, cut this food group out.
Always. This food is bad. It was always cutting out the food groups, or even doing some absurd things like, hey, you need to eat the protein portion like first, and then fat, and then carbs. Like stuff like this, because
in the same meal or in different meals?
In the same meal, but just like the order in which you're eating these macronutrients in one meal, when everything in the end ends up in my stomach.
That's what the glucose goddess is recommending. It's bullshit, but that's something for another episode.
So that was my only way, was doing these diets that were like very clear in what I had to do. And it was like, cut out the carbs, cut out the fat, cut out the meat, cut out the dairy, cut out the sugar, cut out gluten. Like I did all of that. And none of these diets taught me like how to manipulate my calorie intake. And so when I, for example, went on a keto diet, which at first seemed to work, like my body weight was dropping a bit, but then I was like overeating on fats. I wasn't even realizing that, because I was not tracking my calories. And so I was eating a lot of fats because I was hungry all of the time, not eating carbs. I was missing my carbs.
Yeah, and you are also like a carb machine.
I'm a carb machine, and I mean, I had the worst body composition
when you were doing low carb.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I was looking like a, how do you say that in English? Hefeklos.
I don't know. There's also no word in French for that.
No,
it's
in Croatian. I don't think so too.
It's a very German word.
Very German. Yeah. But you know, when you're having a dough, sourdough, that's like
going up.
Going up.
Yeah.
This is how I looked like.
Yeah.
And I
how
was.
I felt.
No, not only how I felt. I mean, I was like 10 kilo heavier than I'm today.
Yeah.
It was like for my height, and then also being purely body fat, weight gain.
Yeah. So it was difficult because you and for the training as well, like I was going to say, it was difficult because you didn't know how to manipulate the variables of nutrition, but also for the training, doing this athletic training, it was nice. There were definitely some benefits from it, but every time it was a different training. And there is no
progressive
clear structure in the training that makes you really track the progress that you are going to do. So this is like the very first step of the matching training and nutrition. You want to have an overview of the calories that you are eating, because as I said at the beginning, you have this budget, and if this is not matching, it's like your income. If you are not earning a lot of money, but you are spending a lot of money, then you're going to have a problem. So you want to first match that, the input, your output. And then for the training, you want to make sure that you are able to actually track what you're doing, that you can see what you're doing, and that the training is designed to retain muscle.
And fun fact here, I thought that I was able to track my progress. I didn't know, like, I was doing, for example, RDLs quite regularly in this like athletic training or some form of squats. So I thought that I was progressing, but this exercise was like coming up maybe every 2 weeks or something like that. And so I wasn't really applying progressive overload like I could do it in a structured strength training program way. Also because the it was always different, like what was before the strength training. Mm-hmm. So maybe we did some sprints or some agility training, and then after that doing squats definitely had an impact on my performance doing my squats. And then 1 week after that, I was doing squats at my first exercise of the day and doing the sprinting later. Mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So I thought back then that I was progressing, but that was very a subjective feeling.
Yeah, yeah.
That I was progressing in some way in my weight, because I could then say like, I'm today like weaker in this exercise because I did the agility training before or sprint training before. But that's exactly the point. That's also the point with like CrossFit being challenging to really, really track your mm-hmm. progress mm-hmm. when you're doing always different workouts of the day. Maybe you think that you are progressing in your deadlift, but
you can't know for sure.
But you can't know for sure.
Yeah.
And that's why it's hard to build muscle for sure, but also retain muscle mass when you're yeah. going through a fat loss phase. So having a structured training program and knowing really the amount, like the budget of the calories that I can spend
is the first step.
Was the first
yeah.
step.
Because also at some point, when you create the tone look, you are going to go in a dedicated phase where you try to reduce body fat. And when you do this, then you're going to reduce a bit the calories, and then you want to make sure that your body get rid of body fat and not just lose weight. And to do this, to make sure that you are actually retaining muscle mass, you want to have strength training where you can see from week to week that you are actually staying as strong as you were before, or in some cases maybe get even a bit stronger. And then we go to the next level, because in the example that I just gave, we also want to have enough protein to retain the muscle mass that you have, and to make sure that your body is going to get rid of the body fat and not of your muscle. And the second level, as far as nutrition goes, is to match the macros to your training, to what you are doing, so that you have enough protein to retain your muscle, so that you have enough carbs. This is super important because there are still people doing low carbs, but the intensity of strength training is quite high, and it also require quite a lot of carbs for the recovery. And in training, the higher the intensity is, the more carbs you are going to burn. So you want to really make sure that you have enough carbs in your diet so that you can actually recover from your training and perform well. For the training part, matching training and nutrition, we want to make sure that you have enough intensity. And this goes back to what you were saying before, like you had no idea in your training if you are applying progressive overload and train at the right intensity. So it felt hard. You were mm-hmm. sweating a lot.
Absolutely.
Your heart rate was high most of the time. But it was very difficult to know like, hey, am I able this week to add either some weight or some reps for the same rate in the same exercise? So when you are doing RDLs, then the good thing would have to be to one week, for example, do 50 kilo, that's 110 pounds, for 10 reps. And then you want to make sure that the next week you do the same weight for maybe 12 reps, or for 10 reps, you can add some more weight. So you do 52 kilos or 115 pounds, and then you try to at least maintain that or even increase over time. And this is what's going to help you build and retain muscle.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything to add to that?
No, but I really thought, as you said, that I was training intensively. Mm-hmm. So intensity was back then something completely different.
But even after that, like when you started to...
For a long time. Even when I started strength training then with the like structured training program, I didn't get the intensity part. I think
you got it, because the training, you had the luck that the training plan you used were quite well designed.
Good coaches,
but you also have like the attitude of trying to get stronger, mm-hmm. and pushing yourself and applying some effort during your training, but like really having a very strong focus on nailing the intensity. Like the peak of that was when you started to work with Pat, no?
Last year
during your building phase, and it was a very, very simple training plan. But it was
very challenging.
Very challenging.
Wow. Yeah. I was like, how the heck could I do more than like 4 exercises before that?
Yeah.
I was like, 4 exercises are killing me. I'm done. I'm really done. And so, yeah, intensity, super important. And also the macros. You were only talking about protein and carbs. But I also remember, like, for me, it was very also important to include fats in my meals. I'm currently not eating super, like, much fat. But still having that in all of my meals helped me. And, I mean, you were the first who told me, like, hey, you're feeling quite hungry early after your meal because you're cutting out too much fat, or you're not having fat at all in your meals.
Yeah, and so not having all macros at every meal.
Not all macros at every meal. And so that changed definitely when I work with one of my first coaches that matched my training and my nutrition. And basically, like, level 1 and level 2 is what we teach into Eat to Look Toned.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to learn how to set up your calories at like maintenance level with the right macros, having a structured strength training program for the next 6 weeks where you can like track everything, have also like the exercise videos, and learn on top of that like how you can train effectively, like really train with the right intensity, then definitely get your bum into the Eat to Look Toned course. I will link it below in the description. And now level three,
food choices when it comes to nutrition,
mm-hmm.
and volume of training. And the food choices is going to be very important, because when you try to optimize body composition, as I said already, then at some point you are going to have periods of low caloric intake, and you want to make sure that in those periods, then you want to make sure you have enough volume of food so that you are not hungry. But at the same time, you are also going through some phases that are dedicated to building muscles, because the toned look is a combination of having more muscle mass, but also having less body fat. And it can be challenging. It can definitely be challenging to eat a lot of food at the peak of a building phase. And in that kind of situation, you want to have the right food choices in place so that you are actually able to get all those calories in. And it's also important, like the food choices, it's also something that's important to make sure that you have energy during your training. Because if you eat, for example, a lot of fat and
fiber,
vegetables right before your training, then it's going to slow down your digestion, and you are not going to be able to have to train at the same intensity than if you were eating mostly like fast digesting carbs right before your training and a bit of protein.
Imagine me having like a full stomach and doing like squats.
Okay.
Or deadlifts.
I would puke. Okay.
You have a story to
tell? Yeah, I have a story.
Okay, let's go.
I have a story. And
what happened?
And the story is not about what I ate before training, but I was going to say, like, you also want to make sure that you have the right food choices after your training. Mm-hmm. And because having like fast digesting carb and protein and no to very little fat after your training is going to help you recover faster because you are going to have a spike in blood sugar, which increases insulin, which decreases cortisol, and we want to decrease cortisol after training. And where I'm from in Switzerland, like the main, one of the main dish that
cheese.
We have is cheese fondue. So basically what it is, it's a mix of two different cheese that are quite fatty and that that are quite stinky with some white wine in it. And then you just melt it, mix it all up. And
you have a big bowl of it.
You have a big bowl on the table, and then you are going to put some bread on your fork and then dip your bread into the cheese, the melted cheese, and then you eat that. And I haven't, I think actually this time so I had that after a training, and I think it was almost one of the last time I had that. And it was like,
bad memory.
I think it was like 5 or 6 years ago. No, more.
More.
It must have been like 7 or 8 years ago. Because the training I did before was a 6-12-25. So it's basically a very intense training where you have a lot of
intensity,
but also
training.
A lot of
lactate
production and metabolites. And so imagine you do first a squat, then a leg press, squat for 6 reps, then leg press for 12, and then leg extension for 25. And you do it without a pause in between. And then after that, you do 3 minutes of pause. So you have like a massive pump and your body is screaming. It just wants to soak up the carbs. And not like anything greasy and fatty. Carbs and protein is what you want to have in that
and
in
what
that
did
situation.
You do?
And then it was the day I had like a date with my old roommates that come over to my new place, and we had a cheese fondue. And it was, I slept so bad. It was the worst. So yeah, food choices, matching training and nutrition, food choices is definitely going to
be part of it.
To matter, to be part of it. And then we also have volume for the training. And this comes back to your caloric budget and caloric intake. So if you have, but also like your recovery capacity. So if you have more calories that you are eating, then you are going to be able to tolerate more training volume, but if you have less calories, then maybe you're not going to tolerate as much volume. So you want to make sure that you don't go overboard with how much you're doing. And what we see a lot of is people coming in and they do 4, 5, 6 exercise, and each exercise is like 3 to 5 sets, and they do one training session where they have like 20 plus sets of a body part. And that's actually quite high when you apply a high intensity for your training.
That's what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
Because last year I was doing like nailing my intensity. And so I had then like 2 working sets. We try to bring these up in the first mesocycle. We try to really push it and see like how much I can tolerate. And I was able to push quite high, like for my RDLs I had like 6 sets at the end, but I was like dying. I was done. And
but you also had like only three exercises. No,
I only had like 3 exercises. Yeah. But it just wasn't needed. Like this was like the top end of of volume, because if you are training with the right intensity, then less can actually be better, and like finding the minimal effective dose that you actually need to grow, or that you actually need to retain muscle mass.
Yeah. Because like if we count, then it was maybe 18 sets for one session, and it was already like the type of volume you were not able to recover from anymore, even though you had enough calories. So it was creating problems with the recovery. So this is something that we want to keep in check. and make sure that we match that. And then the last layer that we have, or level, is the meal timing and the cardio for the training. So for meal timing, I already spoke about that a bit, like around the training, making sure that you have the right nutrient right before you train and right after you train. So
we also have a whole podcast episode on the meal timing thing. Yeah.
So do check that out. But you want to make sure that you have energy when you're going to train, and that you have energy coming in right after it to kickstart the recovery.
Yeah, like really shifting the mindset towards, hey, I want to strength train. I want to build a capable and strong and healthy body. So prioritizing food around my training is just part of being an athlete.
Yeah. And I mean, the reason why, because we don't think about that, but it's the time where you are going to increase energy demand. So you have the highest energy expenditure in your training and that time, and right after when you start to recover. And this is when you want to have the most amount of calories and nutrient coming in. And as far as cardio goes, then this is like
the cherry icing on top.
Yeah, the icing on the cake. Exactly. And when you've already put in place like the whole rest, then this is what comes on top, because this is definitely something that can impact and influence body composition and help you get better results.
And health,
but it's not something you want to overdo too much. And one of the reasons is because it's very easy when you do cardio to overdo it.
Absolutely. I mean, going just like for a light run, for someone who isn't trained, like who hasn't the work capacity, or who hasn't like built up that
aerobic base,
the foundation, going for a run will like skyrocket your heart rate, which isn't bad per se, but if it's not like matching in the rest of your like budget for like recovery and everything, then it can create some problems. And what I see a lot is women come to us who are just going for a run, or they don't really think about it because they want to incorporate some form of cardio, which is great. But then they're having like training at a heart rate of 160. And what they would actually need is doing some low intensity cardio, which for some is walking a little bit faster, because this is like the aerobic base.
Yeah, they need to build. And when you think about it, like the more intense the workout, the more carbs you are going to need, and you are going to, because you are going to just burn more of them during your training. And even for someone who's not trained, then they are going to burn like 300 to 400 calories per hour. And it's mainly going to come from carbohydrate. For someone who is trained, then they are going to burn like 600, 700, 800 calories per hour. And more of that can come from fat if you are very, very highly trained endurance athlete. But this is kind of a different scenario. And like, imagine if you just say like, hey, I want to go for a run, and you go for 90 minutes, or your idea is to burn as much as possible when you do cardio, because what you know is train more, eat less, then you can create like a massive calorie deficit in quite a short amount of time. And this is going to create quite a lot of problems down the line, because it's going to make adherence much harder. You are going to have elevated stress hormones and
elevated resting heart rate, elevated a lot of times, food cravings, digestive issues.
Sleep is not going to be great.
Bad mood, irritability.
And the progress in the gym as far as developing muscle mass is going to be way more difficult. So extra cardio is something that's good, but you have to be mindful of, because it's very, very easy to do way too much of it.
Yeah. So when we're actually working with our clients and they come to us and they experience like some roadblocks on their way to transform their body, that can be quite a lot of things. But like the most common ones are they're not able to lose weight. They have food cravings. They think that their hormones are like out of whack. They think they're like too old maybe to change, or the genetics are just bad, and they will never achieve the toned look. Then the first thing we do is like really go through all of these levels that we just mentioned, and make sure that training and nutrition are a perfect match. Because then, if you then still have problems, like hormonal problems, for example, then this is definitely something that you want to have. I mean, you can have that checked beforehand, for sure. But making sure that you're going through all of these levels and try to, on your nutrition side and training side, really get the most out of it is really, really the first step.
And it's going to help you like troubleshoot the process of training and nutrition and make sure that at least this is not creating a problem with
exactly.
your hormones.
Exactly.
And then you are like, hey, if this is still an issue, then like there are still some like very, very details and nuance that we can add to that, like with supplements yep. and be very, very specific. But like if you've done that, it's going to be like 90% of your results if you can stick to it. But it's also going to help you increase adherence. And when you have that in place, then you can say like, hey, it's still not going in the right direction. Maybe I need to check that out with my doctor because there's something that just like not right.
Yeah.
But before you do that, make sure that you have that in
yeah,
place.
Yeah, because we see it like left and right with yeah. our clients that stress management is improving, sleep is improving, digestion is improving, PMS is improving, like getting better, having less symptoms, food cravings are disappearing. We even have some of our clients who, like one has rheumatism, the other one has Schuppenflechte, how do you say that?
Psoriasis.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And since working with us, it's like gone for like 2 years. They're like, it disappeared because we managed so well to use like the budget they have mm-hmm. in the right way and not like over exceed that, because every time you over exceed what your body can actually handle, then it will cause some problems down the line.
Yeah. So
never give up on yourself. That's actually what I wanted to say. Like oftentimes we think, or I was in the same boat, thinking that losing my period, having PCOS, gluten and histamine intolerance, bloating, binge eating, whatever. It just makes it very, very hard to believe that there is a solution out there. And I just want to encourage you to never stop searching. And from my experience, like going through these four levels, looking at matching your training and nutrition, if you are a woman who loves to lift weights and you want to build your toned and strong body, this is the way to start.
Yeah. And obviously this is like a process, so it's going to take a bit of time to figure out exactly what your specific needs are, but it's definitely like the structure that we use with our clients and that we also teach in Eat to Look Toned. And like Dragan was saying, you will find the link in the description below, because it's a very, very affordable program and it really helps you lay the foundation for a toned body, but also for better performance and for better health. So check this out. I hope this was very helpful. And if you liked it, then subscribe to the podcast, share it with someone who likes to train and wants to look better. And talk to you next time.
Bye-bye.